right. Glad you're saved. Say amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, please. The book of Psalms, Psalm 137. I want to begin in verse number 1, and we read down to the end of the psalm. Psalm 137. That's Psalms is the largest book in the Bible, and it's the middle book in the Bible. And thank God for Psalms. It's Psalms. Amen. I'm not going to take for granted folks know how to say it. I was preaching last week in the book of Job, and half of them thought it was Job, and they wouldn't turn there. Most of them would just rather I read it to them. Amen. They wasn't going to turn to the book of Job without a $2,000 signing bonus or something. I don't know what they had in mind. Amen. It's Psalms, and it's the middle book in your Bible. Amen. If you'll turn to Genesis and make a hard right, you'll come to Psalms. If you come to Revelation, you went too far. Just turn around and go back like you came. Psalms. Give you extra time to get there. Well, praise the Lord. Ain't God good? Cooled it off a little bit for us, didn't it? Praise the Lord, y'all. I mean, it's hotter than purgatory last night. Amen. Thank God he cooled it off a little bit. And praise the Lord for it. Well, if you're in Psalm 137, say amen. Amen. I want to begin reading in verse number 1, read down to verse number 9, and just preach a few minutes. It'll seem like a few minutes to me, probably longer to you. I have been accused of being long-winded. Falsely, I do think. My reply to that is you think I'm bad. The Bible said a day with the Lord is as a thousand years. I ought to have him here preaching. Amen. Paul would preach till midnight. They'd fall out the window. He'd raise them from the dead, teach Sunday school to daylight. Hey, you like them apples? You better be glad you got Brother Bud. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Psalm 137. The Bible said in verse number 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Verse number 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, and forget her cunning, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, race it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. That's written in Psalm 137, verses 1 through 9. Would you pray with me tonight? Pray with me and pray for me. Our Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the gathering together of the people of God tonight. I pray you would help us tonight. I pray that it'd be more than just some man trying to preach. I pray the Holy Ghost of God would take us by the hand and walk us through the pages of your Bible. I pray you would show us things and tell us things. And Lord, do an eternal work in every heart tonight, and we'll thank you for it. We'll praise you for it, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice with me Psalm 137 and what's going on in the chapter, in the psalm rather. It's what I call an attempted church service. I say an attempted church service. Verse number 1 says that they sat by the river in Babylon.
they sat by the river in Babylon. The Bible said that they had their harps. We have every reason to believe that they brought their songbooks. This is that Levitical choir that was set up to do the worship in Jerusalem. Here they are in a strange land and by a river in Babylon. I believe that it was a Sabbath. And I think it was a church day. And I base that upon the fact that there's an Old Testament custom that when a Jew could not make his way to the Old Testament tabernacle or to the temple, he would find himself a moving body of water that and there would sit down and pray. You remember Acts chapter number 16 where Paul went into the first town in Philippi, was the first town that did not have a synagogue, and the Bible said they went out and sat by a river where prayer was wont to be made. It was on the Sabbath day. And so I have every reason to believe that Psalm 137 takes place on the Sabbath. Now that's Saturday to the Jew, but it's Sunday to us. And basically what it is, it's a church day. Help me somebody. Do you know what church folk do on church day? Church people go to church on church day. That's just something we've always done, and that's something we'll always do. Church folks goes to church on church day. And just because they're in Babylon, that does not mean it's not church day. Every Sabbath, I believe that this band of captives would gather their harps together and get their song books, and they would go down by the river in Babylon and make an attempt at worshiping God. It was by the river in Babylon. They tried. They got dressed for church. They went out to the meeting place. They had their instruments. It looks to me like church folks doing church stuff on church day. Help me somebody. It looks to me like they're trying to worship God in Psalm 137. But they just couldn't do it. There were hindrances of their worship. Has anybody under the tabernacle tonight noticed that sometimes it's easy to go to church? Oh, what I mean by that is from the moment that you ride up onto the property, you get your favorite parking spot. Help me somebody. You go into the church and you sit in your favorite place in the auditorium. And the opening, from the opening prayer to the final amen, there seems to be a presence in the room, an eternity that is in attendance. It seemed like the preacher is on fire. Hallelujah. Has anybody noticed that there are times when the preacher is a little more preachy than he is at other times? Sometimes it seems like he's been dipped in kerosene and set afire. Somebody help me. Don't it seem like sometimes in your church that seems like God is a pouring it in to your preacher as he is a pouring it out to you? Don't it seem like you could close your eyes and see God in the presence of the church? And don't it catch you testify and tell me that there are times in the house of God where it seems like there's a presence so real that if you were to come down to the altar, you'd be afraid to put your hand out lest you touch God. Am I right about it? Sometimes it's easy to have church. Sometimes you come in there and it don't matter. It don't matter. The song director gets up and every song is right and the presence of God is in the singing and things go well. You ain't gonna believe what I'm about to tell you, but even the sound man's got it lined up. Huh? Has anybody noticed that there are times when you go to church, and I mean my soul, God just seems to rend heaven and come down and sit amongst his people when things begin to happen and God begins to move and the glory of God falls? Can anybody testify that that's how it happens from time to time? That's how it happens from time to time. You leave out of there saying, praise God, preacher, I can't wait to get back on Sunday night. It was so good tonight. I can't wait to get back on Sunday night. And when you get back on Sunday night, it's dead as a hammer. Huh? Tumbleweed rolling down the center aisle. Hear a voice saying, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. Huh? Huh? That ought to be against the law, y'all. It ought to be against the law for it to go good one church service and then not so much the next church. Can anybody in the tabernacle test y'all church folks? Some of y'all been doing it a lot longer than me, honey. You think it, I say it. That's why I'm the evangelist. Sometimes you go to church and it's so good you can't wait to get back. Sometimes you get there and it don't seem like God's within a million miles that place. You leave out of there and say, I'd have been better off at the house watching reruns of Touched by an Angel. Amen. Della Reese got more God on her than most church service does after you've had a good service. Amen. Ought to be against the law. If you'll go ahead and say amen, that you know what I'm talking about, we'll move off of the introduction. Because I do have some things about Psalm 137 I'd like to tell you. This is an attempted church service. That crowd got up, and at least they got up and got dressed. Help me, somebody. At least they got up and got dressed, got their harps under their arms, got their Bibles, got their song books, and went down by the river to pray and worship God. Amen. And they tried. They just couldn't do it. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Verse number two. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Verse number one says, we wept when we remembered Zion. Tried to have a church service and just couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. Wound up giving up. You got to say, all you pastors want to say amen right here, but you ain't going to do it. You have wanted to walk out of the pulpit in the middle of your sermon and out the side door, get in your car and leave your family there because they're part of it. You're just as mad at them. In fact, probably more mad at them than anybody else because they know, if anybody knows in that church you're struggling, your wife's sitting there knowing you're struggling and she's back there giggling, posting it on Facebook. Boy, he's really choking today. LOL. He really is laying an egg this morning. Huh? Yeah. Help me, somebody. You got to testify that you'd like to step out of the pulpit, walk out the back side door, out the car, get in the car, leave, and never come back. See that pastor's picture on the milk carton? Huh? They tried to have church and just couldn't do it. Have you ever tried? This whole sermon ain't gonna work unless y'all get honest about it. Huh? Can we get honest about it? Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have it all on the top shelf? You think, oh, why you of that school that fake it? You'll fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. Well, it ain't in me. Help me, somebody. It ain't in me. My pastor taught me this if he didn't teach me anything else. He said, you ain't got to be real good. Just be real. Help me, somebody. I'm not interested in faking it till I make it. Ain't no being phony. This ain't Hollywood. This ain't Hollywood. This ain't Broadway. This ain't no show, honey. I didn't come here for my exercise or for your entertainment, honey. If God don't get in this thing, if God don't get in this thing, if God don't get in this thing, you might as well go to the house. I mean, might as well go to the cookout and get a watermelon milkshake. You still got 30 days. Ain't wasting time, honey. Not during July and August at the cookout, anyhow. They tried to to have church and they couldn't do it. Wound up hanging their harps in the willow, threw the towel in, said, I quit, I just can't do it. By the way, this ain't some crowd that can't carry a tune in a bucket. Help me, somebody. Come here, y'all. I understand they couldn't sing. If they can't sing, quit singing. I'm all for people quit singing if you can. Help me, somebody. Come on. Again, there we go again. We're going to be honest about it. If you can't be honest, you can't get help. And if you sound like dying calves in a hailstorm, don't bring me your CD, because I'm going to donate it to Goodwill before I take it out of the wrapper. Hey! Y'all want to pray, don't you? Amazing. We'll pray in a minute. Is it all right? Amen. It's not that they couldn't sing. Did you know that this crowd right here is the trained Levitical priesthood that were, hey, when David invented chords, David invented instruments, David wrote songs, and this was that crowd. These were the sons of Asaph. These were the professionals. Oh, honey, they could. On their worst day, they could sound good any time they wanted to. Truth be told, that's why they're in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar didn't come in and get all in. Help me, somebody. If they couldn't sing, he wouldn't have took them with him. Huh? He went and got all the magicians and the astrologers and the scientists. He got all the smart people. He got all the best looking folks. Help me, somebody. Some of y'all ain't got to worry about it if Nebuchadnezzar comes in. He got all the good looking folks and the good and the talented and the best of the best and the brightest and carried them to Babylon. These were the professional singers. Tried. And they couldn't do it. Hanged their harps in the willow and quit trying. Here's why. I think I've got three reasons what hindered them from being able to worship God. Number one, they had a problem with that place. Verse number one says they sat by the rivers of Babylon. They would have gladly given up the mighty Tigris and the Euphrates, the rivers of Babylon for humble Jordan, or even the brook Jabbok. These Judean captives, they weren't impressed by the mighty Tigris or the Euphrates River that once ran out of Eden. They might have ran out of Eden, but they can't run back into Eden. Somebody help me now. Oh, they would have preferred the muddy Jordan. They would have preferred the muddy waters of Jordan. I said they would have preferred the muddy waters of Jordan over the mighty Tigris and the Euphrates. It don't take you too awful far reading into Psalm 137 to find out what their favorite place was. Here's what they said. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. You know what he's saying? He said, if I forget about Jerusalem, I'd just soon never play his guitar again. If I forget about Jerusalem, I'll soon never sing again. If I don't sing, hey, if you want to hear me sing, you get me to my favorite place. You get me to my favorite place and you'll hear some singing. They had a problem with that place. They're not in Jerusalem, honey. They're in Babylon. They're in the headquarters, the birthplace of idolatry, Satan's headquarters. Help me, somebody. They're in a bad place. Have you ever noticed that some folks can't worship God unless they're in a good place? Oh. Huh? Preacher, you just don't know I'm in a bad place. Well, you ain't no worse or a place than Babylon. They're in Babylonian captivity. No wonder they can't worship. Let somebody get out of place and they can't worship. I'm going to preach this. Y'all need the preaching. I need the practice. I'm going to preach this. Help me, somebody. I'll preach this one for my mama, and she's been dead for years. Amen. Let somebody get your parking place. Oh, help me, Jesus. I thought he was an evangelist. He sounds like a pastor. Let somebody get your spot on the pew. Let somebody set your spot. Let somebody take your place. And you're all out of kilter. You're all walker-jawed throughout the entire worship service. You might open a songbook. You're so messed up, you'll sit there and open your Bible while we're singing, and you'll have a songbook open while we're preaching. You're so messed up in the head just because somebody got your spot. Just because somebody got your spot. Just as I am. Don't worry, I ain't fixing to make a CD. I know half that crowd how they act. I ain't doing it. I ain't going to do it. But I tell you what, honey, I tell you what. You get me down there at my favorite place, you'll watch me shout. Huh? I'll shout like a coon dog. I'll take 3 laps around the building, get me down there at my favorite place. You get me down there at my favorite place. Hey, anybody can worship God when they're in their favorite place. If the only time you ever worship God was when you're in a good place, you ain't gonna be worshiping God much. It's a hindrance to worship. They had a problem with this place. Number 2. Oh my, look at this. They had a problem with these people. Huh? Oh, daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shalt thou be, shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou served us. Happy shall he be that taketh the dash of thy little ones against the stone. That's not a very nice thing to say. Help me, somebody. There, they that wasted us required of us mirth. They that carried us captive. I wouldn't be in this mess if it wasn't for that crowd. Them bunch of godless Babylonians, I was minding my own business, doing what was good. Help me, somebody. They come in there, wrecked everything, ruined everything. Every decision they make has affected everything that I've done, and I don't like them people. Oh, by the way, they were some pretty bad people. I don't know if you studied them Babylonians or not, honey. But they make them camel-stealing Chaldeans make look like a junior boy Sunday school class. Help me, somebody. Yeah, a child of God got no business in Babylon hanging out with the Babylonians. They had a problem with that place and they had a problem with them people. Let me break it down for you so you'll get point number 2. What's he doing here? I mean, I come to go to church this morning, but what's he doing here? Huh? What's she doing here? Eb, don't that preacher know what she did? Mama, I'm doing this one for you. Anybody can worship God as long as they're surrounded by their favorite people. Oh, I don't know where he's going to get this fat preacher from Alabama. I tell you what, though, you get my favorite preacher in there now. You ain't heard nobody holler, amen, like I'll. You get that little fat Alabama preacher out of here. You watch and see what's going to happen. You get my favorite preacher in there. Get my favorite singers in there. Let my grandkids sing. And woo, I'll shout like Bob Barker called my name. $1. Yeah, woo, the price is right, Bob. Just as I am. Y'all right? They couldn't worship God. It's a church day. And they're church folk. And church folk ain't even got to pray about it. Church folk go to church on church day, do church stuff. I'm probably not going to get an honorary doctorate for that statement, but I'm going to say it again. I said church folk go to church on church day, do church stuff. That's what church folk do. I'm going to confer upon myself an honorary doctorate. Again, another one. I'm running out of space on my office wall. Huh? Be about as useful as all them other ones they're pumping out. Help me, somebody. They had a problem with that place. They had a problem with them people. Oh, I forgot to tell you this one. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. If verse 7 wasn't between verse 6 and verse 8, I would think it didn't even belong there. Okay, whatever. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem. Edom. What have they got to do with this outfit? The Edomites are 1,000 miles away. Help me, somebody. Do y'all know who the Edomites are? Arch enemies of the people of God. Jacob and Esau. Jacob, the Israelites. Esau, the Edomites. They was kin. Can I get a roll tide? They was kin. Help me, somebody. They was kin. Yeah. Related. They was cousins. And they was fighting mad at each other. Can I break it down so you'll understand point number 3? That's it. The Edomites, that's that church down the road. Oh, help me, Jesus. Come here, y'all. That's that church down the road that don't nobody fellowship with. Help me, somebody. Oh, no, we're not going down there. There's something wrong down there. I'm telling you there's something wrong down there. There's something going on down there. I'm just telling you that there's something about that little shady preacher, his little beady eyes. There's something about that. I can't put my finger on it. There's something going on. Oh, there's something going on down there. Huh? Them Edomites stood on the mountainside while Nebuchadnezzar carried the Israelites captive, and they said, That's right, you bunch of self-righteous Jews. You think you God's gift to the church? There you are. I told you there was something wrong with them. And they cried, race it. Go, Nebuchadnezzar. They were rooting for Nebuchadnezzar. Race it. Erase the entire memory. Push them into the Mediterranean. Get rid of them. Get rid of them Jews. I told you there's something wrong with them. You see, the Edomites, when the church had a split, oh, help me, Jesus. When the church had a split, they rejoiced in what Nebuchadnezzar did to the children of Israel. And let me remind you that this crowd by this river in Babylon, they're at least 1,000 miles away from the Edomites, and this thing happened almost 70 years ago. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? The reason they hung their harps in the willow trees, the reason they couldn't worship God on a church day, reason why they couldn't go to meeting, reason why they couldn't do it is because they had a problem with the past. Every time they start to remember, every time they start to enjoy God, every time they start to enjoy singing, every time they start to enjoy church, something will remind them of something that happened in their past, and they wind up hanging their harps in the willows, and they sit there and they weep. You know why? A lot of God's people have hung their harps in the willow, sat down on God, stopped worshiping God, stopped going to meeting. Church has turned into a show. That's why that contemporary crowd's got to have their stupid purple lights and flashing and shining their strobe lights and their goofy rock concerts and their goofy tight leather pants. Help me, somebody. Goofy praise and worship leaders and goofy interpretive dancing around on the platform like some kind of... Help me, somebody. Because God's people have hanged their harps in the willows and they refuse to worship God. It ain't all their fault that they're running that route. The contemporary movement is children's church for adults. When they was babies, we kept them in the nursery. I ain't again that. When they got to be little kids, we put them over in the junior church. I ain't again that. When they got a little bit bigger, we put them in the teen church. They ain't even been in a big church. They ain't even been in a, get out here. There ain't no popcorn. Help me somebody. There's no strobe lights. There's no show. There's no show. There's no candy. There's no popsicle. We don't take a break and go out and slide. Help me somebody. Hey, you get in church and it's boring to them. And so now they got to get the world's music and the world's methods to keep them entertained and singing stupid country songs and bouncing volleyballs around the church house. That's not church. And it's all because God's people hang their harps in a willow and refuse to worship. Now I understand. I'm trying to be neutral. I'm trying to understand why this crowd has got their harps hanging in the willows and they're sitting there by the river and they're weeping. I'm trying to be sympathetic. Look at their question in verse 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Huh? I want to attempt to answer that question with four propositions. Oh, you didn't know them last three was my introduction. It's y'all's fault sitting there. You ain't burning a single calorie sitting there. Go to church with me. Get your cardio up. You'll feel better in the morning. Here's what I propose tonight. I say that they should have got them harps down out of that willow, tuned them up, sang the Lord's song. Hey, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Where else? Where's a better place to sing the Lord's song? Help me somebody. Where's a better? The only time you ever sing the Lord's songs at church, you ain't doing it right. The only time you ever read your Bibles at church, you ain't doing it right. The only time you ever praise at church, you ain't doing it right. Where's a better place than to sing the Lord's song than in a strange land? I propose to you tonight that they should have got them harps down, and they could have if they'd have done four things. Come with me. Come here. Number one, if they'd have repented of their sins. Help me somebody. Do you know why they're in Babylonian captivity? It's not Nebuchadnezzar's fault. It's not the Babylonians' fault. Help me somebody. Help me somebody. It's not the Republicans or the Democrats. You can't blame the LGBTQRXYZ crowd. Help me somebody. Come here. It ain't their crowd. It ain't your mom and daddy's fault. Help me somebody. Guess whose fault it is? Wasn't nobody's fault but theirs. God told them, you know what they did? You know what they did? Or rather, what they didn't do? They didn't go to church regular and they didn't tithe. Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, help me, Jesus. Are you serious? They got sent to Babylonian captivity for not letting the land lay fallow. Help me, that's a tithe. That was a tithe of God. And they didn't worship God. They began to dabble around worshiping idols. And God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send you to a place where there's an idol on every corner. That'll cure you. God did for them what my mama did for me when I was 11 years old. My mama smoked Cool 100. Menthol. Cigarettes. Woo! I was 11. I thought, Mama was at work. Mama worked way on the other end of town. I snuck a cigarette out of mama's cigarette case. You know, it had the little snap, and the lighter was in there. I didn't need a lighter. We had a stove. I snuck that thing. I got out on the back porch. Help me, somebody. I just about got it lit, and God, the Holy Ghost, translated my mama from the other side of town where she worked at Kaiser Roth Hosiery Company, and she walked through that sliding glass door. And she said, oh. You want to smoke? I said, no, ma'am. She said, yes, you do. I said, no, ma'am. She said, yes, you do. She said, sit down. She lit her one, handed me the pack. She made me smoke a whole pack of cigarettes. Do y- y'all know how many cigarettes is in a whole pack? 20 cigarettes in a pack of cigarettes. What you gonna do with 20 cigarettes? And I don't know how much you know about this stuff, but cool, it ain't spelled with a C, it's spelled with a K. So is kill. Kill is spelled with a K. K-O-O-L. You know what I'm talking about. Man got a mustache like that knows what I'm talking about. Let me see your fingernails, friend. I know you know what I'm talking about. And they're cool 100s. They're that long. They're that big around. And they got Ben Gay in them. Preacher, I turned green. I threw up. I barfed. I puked. I blew chunks. I tossed cookies. And then I got sick. But oh, I'd like to testify. I won't testify tonight that God delivered me from my smoking habit. Woo! I started and quit the same time. Well, that's what God did for the children of Israel. They decided they want to run after strange gods. God put them in the birthplace of idolatry for 70 years. You know whose fault it was? It wasn't mom and daddy's fault. It wasn't the previous generation's fault. Help me, somebody. For the first time in your life, you can't pin this one on the Democrats. Help me, somebody. It ain't the devil's fault. Oh, help me, Jesus. It ain't the devil's fault. It wasn't God's fault. It was their fault. You know why they were carried away in sin? Because they got carried away with sin. They got carried away with sin before they ever got carried away with sin. Help me, somebody. They were sin in their life. Unconfessed sin in their life. It's no wonder they couldn't worship God. It's no wonder they're blaming the Babylonians. They're blaming the Edomites. They're blaming Nebuchadnezzar. They're blaming their mom and daddy. They're blaming God. They're blaming the devil. They're blaming their neighbor. They're blaming the economy. They're blaming the land. They're blaming everything but themselves. It's no wonder they've got their harps in the willow. It's no wonder they can't worship God. It's no wonder we can't have revival. It's no wonder. It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh God. You know what they should have done? You know what they should have done? I know it's in the New Testament, but it's in the Bible principle. They should have exercised 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If they had bowed their head by that river in Babylon and said, oh God, we're here because of our rebellion. We're here because of our willful disobedience. And Lord, we're sorry. I submit to you tonight that the Holy Ghost of God would have swooped down by that river in Babylon, would have hugged them up next to Him, would have cleansed them of their unrighteousness, and they could have got their harps down. They could have strummed it up. They could have worshiped God. It's no wonder we can't have revival. Unconfessed sin. 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 Your sins and your iniquities have separated you from your God. It's no wonder we can't worship God like we used to. It's no wonder we can't pray like we used to. It's no wonder we can't feel the presence of God like we used to. Unconfessed, if they'd have repented of their sins, they could have got them guitars down. You know why the bird sings? Because he's free. Whoa, if they'd have just confessed their sins. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And they could have sang for the glory of God by the river of Babylon. Number two. Oh, I like this one. They could have got those, harps down. They should have and they could have. Number one, if they'd repented of their sins. Number two, if they'd have remembered the scriptures. Did you know that God had written them a letter? God had specifically written a letter to the Babylonian captives by the river in Babylon by the hand of the prophet Jeremiah. And this is what that letter says. Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and will perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity and will gather you from all the nations and from the places whither I've driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place which I've caused you to be carried away captive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you got going on, preacher? You break it, you buy it, my friend. You ain't taking that out of my offering. Amen. He did that, not me. What would have happened when them old boys sitting there mully grubbing, feeling sorry for themselves, bunch of sissy wine bag cry baby mama boys sitting there, got their harps hanged in the willow. Yeah, they're singing all right. Sound a little bit like this. Gloom, despair, agony on me. Deep, dark depression, massive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, agony on me. I may make a CD, Brother Joe. What do you think would have happened? One of them said, you know what? Didn't God say something to us about our situation? Isn't there some specifics? Didn't God write, where's that letter? Where's that letter we got from Jeremiah? Get that out and read that. It's a love letter. God wrote them a love letter while they were in Babylon. God wrote them a love letter and said, I've been thinking about you. Well, I've been thinking about you, and I hadn't forgot about you, and I hadn't forgot about where you are. And won't be long. I'm going to come from where I am to where you are and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What do you think would have happened? They'd have had revival. If they'd have quit feeling sorry for themselves, operating by feelings, got that book out, started reading that book, let the word of God settle down deep into them, let the promises of God wash over their soul like floods of water. Hallelujah. They might have been encouraged. They might have been strengthened. They might have been helped. They might have had a revival right there by the river in Babylon. I said they should have got them harps down. I'm not sympathetic for that crowd. I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry. I understand what happened. I understand. But that aside, they ought have got them harps down. They should have sang for the glory of God. If they'd have repented of their sins, they could have. Number two, if they'd have remembered the scriptures. Oh, I like this one. If they'd have regarded the sinners. Look who it was that asked them to sing. Verse number 3. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You know, the Jews met down by the river in Babylon that day to worship God. But they weren't the only ones that showed up for church. Whoa! I can see them Babylonians sitting on their porch on Saturday afternoon, and it was Saturday morning rather, about 10 o'clock, comes by. Here comes that little ragtag of captive Jews, and they got their harps, and they got their Bibles and they got their songbooks and they're dressed like they're going to church. And one in Babylonian says to another Babylonian, said, what's them Jews doing? Don't they down there look like they're fixing to go sing? Don't they know that even Nebuchadnezzar, as hard a man as he is, he even gives them a day off every now and again? Don't they know they ain't got to sing today? And other than says, no, you don't know about them Jews. Said every Saturday morning, you could set your watch by it. They get up, they go down by this river about 10 a.m. every Saturday morning, and they sing some of the song. You wouldn't even believe the kind of songs they sang. It don't sound like that garbage Nebuchadnezzar makes us listen to. See, you see what I'm doing here now? You see what I'm doing? I'm resisting preaching on it. I said it don't sound nothing like them songs. Nebuchadnezzar, out there at the golden statue, out there with the flute and the harp and the dulcimer. Help me somebody, the cornet, they ain't even got a trumpet. Help me somebody, that worldly music. Help me somebody, Nebuchadnezzar's music. It don't sound nothing like Nebuchadnezzar. It don't sound nothing like that contemporary garbage, that Hillsong garbage. It don't sound nothing like a Bethel song. It don't sound nothing like it come out of Hollywood. It don't sound like nothing like, it sounds something different. There's something different about it. There's something on their singing. There's a presence in their singing. There's a touch on it. There's glory in the, I don't know what it is, but I know what it ain't. And that world music ain't got it, but the church music's got it. Y'all know what made them Babylonians want to go to church? It was church music. And some of them come in, slipped in the back. Sat back there in the back. Huh? Sat down back there. Now I'm not trying to minimize your valley or your storm or your problem. But that's all we ever talk about anymore. Help me somebody. Has anybody noticed that just a few years ago, church looked a lot different than it does now? Preachers would preach on hell and singers would sing on heaven. Singers would sing about heaven and preachers would preach about hell. Because it don't really matter. It don't really matter what happens in this short, brief walk of life. What matters is where you spend eternity. And so the singers would sing about heaven and the preachers would preach about hell. And now the singers all have valley medleys. I call it the gospel blues. I was feeling pretty good till I came to church and now I realize I'm depressed. I thought I was doing okay till after the song service. Now I think I'm a loser. Huh? The gospel blues. I'm resisting. All right. And the preacher gets up and it's a little sermonette. It's just a little sermonette. You're good enough and you're smart enough and you're kind. Huh? Just a little sermonette. Just a little talk. Just a pep talk. Help me somebody. Yeah, makes me want to vomit. Them sinners showed up. I'm not minimizing your storm or your valley. But I want you to understand something from time to time when you come to church and you're feeling sorry for yourself. You're sitting on that pew and I ain't minimizing what's bad happening in your life. But has it ever dawned on you that it might be somebody sitting on the end of your pew, under your pew that's lost? I mean, with all your storm and with all your valley, at least your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. With all your problems and all your troubles, at least you're saved. And the worst thing that could happen to you happens to be the best thing that could happen to you. And there might be somebody sitting there down the end of the pew for the first time and they ain't never heard somebody sing. And what they really need to hear is somebody to take a songbook and to turn to a spiritual song or a hymn and sing for the glory of God.
If they'd have regarded those sinners that had got their guitars down, they'd have sung. What do you think would have happened? What do you think would have happened? One of them said, hey, you know what? This ain't right. Look out them Babylonians back there. Tell you what, let's do. Bubba, get your harp down there. Give me a G chord. Let's do number 25. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Oh, that sounded a little good. That had a little touch on it, didn't it? Huh? That little touch on it there. Huh? Praise God. I got a little goosebump just then when I said that, when I sang that. I may request that I sing that again. Huh? What do you think that I had? Hey, let's sing number 25 in the red back hymnal. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Oh, hallelujah. What do you think might would have happened? I don't know. But maybe, just maybe. By the way, let me make another observation. This is just an observation. Y'all been going to church for a length of time, haven't you? All right. Let's vote on it. How many times have you seen somebody get up in the middle of the sermon and come, not go to the bathroom, go to the altar and get saved? Have you ever seen that? Preacher Phillips, you ever seen that? You ever seen somebody get up in the middle of a sermon and go, it's not a trick question, Brother Cliff. It's just looking like Brother Melton, have you ever seen it? You have, ain't you? Few and far between. I've seen it, preacher. I could count on one hand the times. Very rare have I ever seen somebody get up during the middle of preaching and come to the altar and get saved in the middle of preaching. That's very rare. Guess when they come to the altar? Oh, now, yeah, huh? What do you reckon would have happened? What do you reckon would have happened if that self-centered, crybaby, winebag crowd had got their harps down out of the willow and started singing for the glory of God? You reckon one of them old hard-hearted Babylonians, hallelujah, his shoulders might have dropped a little. He stepped out in the aisle, started walking down it. He come down the front. Oh, he'd say, sir, I didn't know that the Lord was your shepherd. And furthermore, would you think he'd be my shepherd? Because I really could use a shepherd in my life right now. Maybe, just maybe, if they'd have got over themselves and got their harps down and worshiped God during church, if church folks would do church stuff on church day, maybe some of them old hard-hearted sinners would walk an aisle and get saved. Self-centered, self-absorbed. All we care about is what we got going on, and may somebody in the crowd's lost. I'm going to give this last thing and I'm done. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I can't think of a better place to sing the Lord's song than a strange land. If they'd have repented of their sins, if they'd remember the scriptures, if they regarded the sinners, and if they'd had respect for the Savior. It's still the Lord's day. Huh? It don't matter how much stuff's going on in your life. It don't matter what's going on in your life. It's still the Lord's day. And we're still the Lord's people. And there's still the Lord's song. And He's still worthy. I don't care if you're in physical pain. I don't care if there's problems in your family. I don't care if you got issues in your life. I don't care if it's economics. I don't care. I don't care what you're worried about. It's still the Lord's day. He's still worthy of our praise. He's still worthy of our adoration. He still deserves for somebody every now and then to stand up and raise a hand and praise God. He deserves somebody to take a songbook and lift their voice in song for the glory of God. It's still His day. While I'm on that topic, what do you think Jesus would have done? What do you think Jesus would have done? What do you think, what WWJD, what do you think Jesus would have done by the river of Babylon? I'll tell you what He would have done. Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 30. He's leaving the upper room. Satan's entered into Judas. It's already been betrayed. The deal has been set. He's about to go to Calvary. He's about to walk across the Kidron Valley. He's about to go inside the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat great drops of blood and begin a suffering the likes of which no man has ever seen before. And the Bible said, and when they sang a hymn... he sang a hymn with them
before he left the upper room. What do you think Jesus would have done? He'd have sang. He'd have got that harp down out of that willow tree, tuned it up, and sang. What do you think Paul would have done? What do you think Paul would have done? What do you think Paul would have done? WWPD. What would Paul do? I tell you what Paul would have done. Fast forward 600 years in the future. In a little Philippi, hallelujah. In a little jail in a town called Philippi. When at midnight, Paul and Silas, beaten and bleeding and naked and in stocks and about to be killed, they sang praises. They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know what I think you ought to do? Say, preacher, you don't have no idea what I'm going through. I'm not minimizing what you're going through. But God's still good. God's still God. And we're still here. You ought to get your harp down out of that willow tree. You ought to tune it up for the glory of God. You ought to sing. You ought to worship God. You ought to participate. You ought to participate in the worship service. They ought to have to threaten to restrain you. They ought to have to threaten to restrain you when you come in the house of God. They ought to have to say, now listen here. You break one more article of furniture that's coming out of your pocket. Help me, somebody. They ought to have to restrain you when you come to church. I say, get them harps down and sing for the glory of God. Let's all stand together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the patience of God's good people as we've labored together in the scriptures. I trust by now you've spoken to somebody's heart. It might be somebody here, Lord's got their harp hanged in the willow. And they can't worship now for remembering then. Oh, the glory days. The good old days. The glory days. When things were a lot better than they are now. Help us, I pray. Get our harps down and sing for the glory of God. Sing, sister, however you want to do it.